All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Barry Leader's going to come up and do what he does. Welcome, Barry.
Hello. Excuse me. This is a pretty nice cabin in the woods, isn't it? Nice place to be able to call home, and every one of you here, just about, is a couple of folks I haven't met before, except in the parking lot, and it's good to see you all. It's good to be here. Acts 17:26, I think it is, said that God has chosen the times, the places, the boundaries, the habitations, the places of your habitations before the beginning of time. And so we're all here at God's invitation. Hello, Ron. And it's great to see you all. And I want to tell you that every one of you is on God's team and your first string. He's got you out there on the field doing what you're supposed to do, intercepting, you know, bad things that are happening and blocking the issues of life that come at. We all live here and we all know what life's about with somebody cutting you off or somebody doing something that you didn't like, or they thought you did something to them that they didn't like. And so we're here to bring peace and grace and God's love to the world, right? So we welcome you here, and I want to tell you that I first met Bill Derryberry, my wife and I, April 6th, 1975, 11:30 a.m., in the second row on that side, with Fauzi Arzuni speaking. He goes by David now. And Fauzi is a Lebanese Arab that got saved in Senegal, West Africa, and went to Bethany Bible College, and then came to Mountain Chapel, or it was called Calvary Chapel at the time, which is currently the Seventh-day Adventist Church down on Main Street. And Fauzi was speaking, and Norm Lavelle, who some of you know, some don't, had invited us to church, Bev and I, our two girls, and Fauzi gave an altar call, and Bill Derryberry was part of the team that came to the second row. And that was 1975, and we all know of the great man of God that the Lord, before the beginning of time, assigned to this with you, every one of you, every one of us. So, Bill Derryberry, come ahead.
Taryn and I are old friends, and we don't see each other every day, but he told me some things that are going on in his life that make my heart go pat. And I know that I'm going to see more of he and Ashley. This has been a most unusual weekend. I won't ask for a show of hands, but there was an amazing revival meeting in Reading yesterday, and in Los Angeles. I'm here because of it, because everybody else left. all the other people that might be preaching, I guess, are down in Los Angeles or on their way back. And I was going to work on my sermon some more yesterday. However, about 9:30, I turned on Azusa Now, the call, and I couldn't hardly move away from my computer. It was just so compelling. And, of course, there were people that we knew from Bethel, but I had a phone call, kind of by coincidence, the day before the call. And it was from an old friend, a man who had figured largely in my early spiritual life. And I'm going to talk about things like the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about things like, I love that song, and I just appreciate our team doing that. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, I think. Yeah, Holy Spirit, you are what my heart longs for. But you know, there was a time I did not know that's what my heart longed for. And I have a lot of brothers and sisters that have not yet figured out that their heart is longing for the Holy Spirit. Shanna, that was, and the team, that was so amazing. Thank you. That was a special request that I had. I've heard that song, and I thought that's the theme of what I wanted to talk about. I want to open with prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so precious to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this day was ordained by you, that you had the call planned, that you moved upon Lou Engel to sell his home, to help start a fund to rent the Coliseum for that great revival would take place yesterday, April 9th, 2016. There is so much going on. And I liken it to a big grandfather clock in our living room that makes a lot of noise, ticking and gonging, and yet you know, I don't hear it all the time. It's ticking out the time. The Bible is in a way like that clock. It's speaking out the things of our life. How to be more like what God wants us to be like. How God planned us to be. So I just pray that as I meander through my thoughts and notes, Lord, that you will guide my thoughts, bless the words and the meditations of my mouth. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Amen. You know, God is real. Very real. And unfortunately, a lot of our family, a lot of our friends, a lot of our citizens, they don't realize that. They just got burned out when they were young in Sunday school because of a lot of rules. And they don't realize that God has something very special for them today. Very special. And there's a way and a path to find out all the specialness that God has for us. You know, God is the three persons, God the Father, and he is a picture of a father that I had a great father. He didn't live too long, but he was so compassionate and so loving. And I lost him when I was 16. But I always had an understanding of who Father God was because of the father that I had, that I was blessed with. God had a son. His name is Jesus. And he came to pay the penalty of our sin. Because God had this plan. And we all did have, do, are sinners. You know, that's just part of being who we are. But Jesus, if we receive him as our personal Savior, and I do want to say that we're going to have an opportunity when this is over to come and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior if we haven't done it. And then, knowing that, there's one more step that I want, and this is rad, that I want to bring to your attention, and that is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what my heart longs for. Holy Spirit makes a difference in how I think. I can tell the Holy Spirit is there because my thoughts have changed. And it hasn't been all that long ago. Actually, I got baptized, filled, Holy Spirit 45 years ago before I moved to Weaverville. And the man that challenged me and led me in that called me yesterday. And we talked about that event and how it's impacted my life, and how it took a long time for it to really get a hold of my heart and head. But it has. I can't tell you how very important it is to our Christian experience to live and breathe and walk in God's presence. And God's presence comes with his Holy Spirit. Like I said, this is pretty radical for some people. But I believe it. I've experienced it. And I know it. And I'm walking in it. And it's given me more power to live a victorious life than ever before. And so the time is going to come, and I would encourage you to think about taking opportunity for acquiring, you know, first of all, the salvation experience. God just wants us to accept Him, to repent of our sin, and to receive Him. And then there's another step, and that is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I got to interject here. There's some really, there are many, many people in my life that I just love and appreciate. Miguel is a young man from Mexico that some of you would know. He was around here, 10 years ago and more. Been here a while. And he ended up going to Bethel School of Ministry. And many of us encouraged him to go, and he did. And he's working on a kind of a barge. Called me last night from Ketchikan because he knew that we talked a couple of weeks ago that I was going to be praying. And Miguel, who has suffered just unbelievable trauma as a very young child, became an orphan, has grown so much because of the power of God and the Holy Spirit at work in his life. And he called me about a week ago, and he said, "Bill, I've been thinking about your preaching." And he said, "I want to encourage you to say everything you say in love." He said, "I learned that from Bill Johnson." And he said, "Bring a little humor into it." And I had a couple of jokes, but I don't know where they went. And last night, about 10 o'clock, he called me and he said, "Are you ready, Bill? Are you full of love? Do you have some humor?" Yeah. And so I read him. I found a couple of jokes that would be appropriate here. And he said, "Yeah, those are good. Give one at the beginning and then give one in the middle. That'll kind of add a little levity to the meeting." But I don't have them. So your laugh will have to do. Do we care about what God thinks of us? Do we really? Because He certainly has a lot of love, more love for us than any of us have for each other. And there's a lot of love in this auditorium. A lot. A lot of times I think, or I have in my life, cared more about what my friends thought about me than what God did. It never occurred to me that I needed to be mindful of what God thinks about me. And He does. He thinks a lot about me. We tend to kind of play games with God. Maybe one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, as it is convenient. And when we do that, there's a result that happens, and that is guilt and shame begin to erode into our spirit. And think about that. Well, I don't have any guilt. No. Yeah, there are things that bring guilt into our self-conscious, our consciousness, or subconscious, I guess. I had to really search my heart to realize that there was guilt. There is guilt. And there is shame. And there's a lot of fear. you know, perfect love, the word says, casts out fear. And when we are locked in tightly with the Holy Spirit, we begin to realize, oh, I did that. I reacted in that way. Wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, we can... we can confess all of that. Really, there's a lot to confess when you start thinking about it. However, if we confess it to God, He knows what we've done, because He knows everything. He formed us. He, like Barry was saying, you know, before the foundations of the earth, He had us in mind. He had today in mind. So I want to encourage us, and myself, I keep reminding myself not to play games with God. You know, this is real stuff. My relationship with the Lord Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, is so real. And I can't exhort any of us, myself included, enough to just not let those, you know, those concepts out of my heart, out of my mind. Compromise brings feelings of unworthiness. And when we have compromise and we experience unworthiness, the enemy gets a better grip on us. Peter 5:8 says that my enemy, who is the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can destroy, who he can devour. And that happens. That's real. The enemy is right there ready to pounce on us when we make a mistake, when we have a bad thought. He just jumps on us. We are the height of God's creation, and He showers us with His love, and we experience His love through each other. I have a few friends, I wish they were here, but they're not, that say, well, I don't like go to church. You know, they want your money. And I can worship God out in the woods. Oh, do you go to the woods every day, every Sunday morning and worship? How's the music? Well, I don't mean to be unkind. I'm just stating a fact. But God inhabits the presence. God inhabits our lives when we're available. And we need Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." The day is drawing near. Mario Murillo is an evangelist that some of you may have heard of. There was a day when he used to visit our fellowship, and he was powerful. I won't go through all of the things that he talks about. You know, when marriage was destroyed and Planned Parenthood took over, and he says, but none of these people have an answer for the greatest threat of all, and that is generation doom. You know, Guess I'm sounding a negative note. But there's a percentage of maybe at least 50% of our young people who don't have a father in their life. And that's huge. That is helping to create a generation doom, because children that have no father, have no leadership, and many have no mother, active mother in their life. Don't understand the greatness of God. They don't have that leadership. And so he says, what is the right thing to do? The first thing that you have to do is get rid of unbelief. There's a lot of unbelief in our culture. That's why we see what we see on the news, on TV, on the street, people with no real direction in their life, just wasting it. And I want to see us be a light to those people, because even though we haven't been, there's a starting place, and that can start now, today, with a decision in our heart. So when my friend that called me day before yesterday, who led me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit after a men's meeting out by his convertible in a foggy night in South Orange County, so clear in my mind. That night, I went home feeling I'm different. There's something going on in my heart. And so I went to bed. In the morning, I was scheduled to go to a full gospel businessman's breakfast, which was fun. And so as I drove down out of my neighborhood and under the underpass to get on the freeway to go a little farther south, there was a man just rolling up his sleeping bag. He had spent the night there. I don't think he was totally homeless. He was just traveling. Anyhow, the Holy Spirit prompted me, ask him to go to breakfast. So I did. I said, I'm going to breakfast. Can I take you to breakfast? Well, that sounds good. So I began to talk to him about what happened to me the night before, that I was a Christian, that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I would never have picked you up if that hadn't have happened. This is new. And so he said, okay. And, you know, and he kind of, whatever he said, baited me to share the plan of salvation. And before we got to breakfast, because I had a few miles to drive, he got saved. So I think that was my number one. No, it wasn't. I was in an elevator in Tokyo, and I met a young Marine. I had been hearing the clock tick. Wasn't in here, but the clock was ticking. I knew stuff that was in the Bible. Oh, I'm sorry. I knew stuff that was in the Bible, but I wasn't living it. Anyhow, it just happened as I got in this elevator that this young Marine started talking to me, big hotel. And so we were riding up, and I started talking to him about, did he know the Lord? I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit then. But God laid it on my heart. Anyhow, we got off the elevator, and I led him to the Lord, and I'd forgotten about that. And we were in contact for some time. And then a long time, you know, time goes forward. Then I had this experience with my getting filled with the Holy Spirit with my friend Paul Spitz. He was a barber. Paul was a barber. And he has a ministry. He goes over now to Pakistan and rescues children from slave trade. Works with people who are being persecuted. There's a lot of persecution. And Paul runs he bought an acreage over in the valley in Lake Elsinore, on the other side of the mountain from San Clemente, where we live. And he gets people like Buck would do as they're getting out of jail. And they don't have any place to go. And Paul has a way of providing them with lodging and food and giving them hope. And 45 years, he's still doing that. Paul asked me the day before yesterday, "Bill, are you going to the call?" And I said, "Nah, I'm staying home because everybody else went to the call. I get to preach." Oh! So, at 7 o'clock this morning, Paul called me. And he said, "I know all about Bethel Church. I've never been there. But I know that you know about it. And I'm going to come up there and we're going to go to Bethel Church. I want to see I want to understand all the things that they're doing." Because they're doing things all over the world. They sent scores of teams on Monday from the School of Ministry to L.A. to just spread out and reach out to people and share the gospel. Pastor Bill has this goal, used to be, of changing the atmosphere in Reading, making it a Christian culture. He's branched out now to the whole world. And they have an amazing school ministry that is upwards of 2,000 people. And 40%, I think 47% I heard, or from other countries. What do you think that's doing to the world? Because these people are rad. They do things that strong Christians fear to do. So, another verse I wanted to read, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. "But blessed is the one who trusts, that's a hard word, trusts the Lord, whose confidence is in Him, not in me, but in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots. When heat comes, its leaves are green because the roots are in the river, the stream. So it has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit." So, and there's a verse, Proverbs 16:3. "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans." So, if we can remember to commit to the Lord our plans. And if they're not good plans, He'll tell us. But hopefully, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, your plans are going to get better. And He will be able to direct your ways and make your path straight. I don't know if I referred to the song that the worship team played just for me, called a part of it was Holy Spirit, You Are Who My Heart Longs For. I did talk about that. I don't want to leave that out. Okay, there it is. Now, God has objectively defeated Satan. I really. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin and power. And ultimately, He will deliver us from the very presence of sin. We have that to look forward to. And it's hard to live in the presence of sin. And we all have to do it at times. But the more fortified my heart is with presence of Holy Spirit, the easier it is to live in the current presence of sin. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our light comes on. And that gives hope to people, especially if you talk about it. There are so many things that you can say on the telephone to an operator or somebody in the Philippines who's helping you with your Amazon order or wherever. Checking out of the grocery store. There are just encouraging words that let people know that person knows God. And He's blessing me. Wow. I know a lot of us do that. A lot of us do that. So, in the interim, we're involved in guerrilla warfare. It's also known as what, Bill? Somebody got the word? Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Yeah. Or guerrilla warfare. That's paraphrased. Thank you, Garrett. So, since we know that is there, don't know where I put the reference, but it's in Ephesians. Anybody help me? Huh? Yeah, it's chapter 6, and I think it's 8, 9, and 10. And you can read that on your own, because I've talked longer than I thought I would. But spiritual warfare is something that every one of us need to be very familiar with. Putting on the full, whole armor of God. Because it does help us to ward off the fiery darts. Not react when somebody gives us an insult or says something that we don't like. One thought that I wanted to leave you with is to develop a heart of gratitude. God has done so much for us. And you know, if we just think about it, not very much, we don't realize what a great bed I have. What a nice car. How good the meals are. What a great job my wife does for me. You know, and none of that would be possible if I didn't have a great God who loved me so much. So now, I would hope that if anybody here, this is called ministry time, and it takes place up here in front, and there are prayer servants who will be here to serve you and to pray with you. We're going to have a place over here, that'd be Station 1, for you to get saved. If you have never gotten saved, you got to meet Jesus today. Amen. And if you did that, but you're not afraid to get into a much closer relationship with God, He wants you to embrace His Holy Spirit. That can be scary. And without Holy Spirit, we don't see the miracles. Yesterday at the call, which I was guilty of watching almost all day and half the night, there were lots of miracles. There was a man, his name is Sean Bolt, who had a list of things on his phone, words that the Lord had given him about people in this audience. And he started giving them out, names, addresses, anniversaries, children. It was mind-blowing. That is evidence of the Holy Spirit. One couple, he gave a name and, you know, looked all around this huge stadium, and there was no waving of a hand. Like, oh, here we are. And then someone said, they're outside the stadium. Oh, would you text them and ask them to come in? I have a word for them. They showed up. Everything he had to say was right. And I've heard this man at Bethel Church in leadership conferences. It is amazing. There were a lot of healings made. I even felt some in my back when I think it was Bill Johnson was praying. And he was describing, you know, different problems. And so there were a lot of healings. Does not happen without Holy Spirit presence. And that's why we need Holy Spirit. Then, 45 years ago, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the interim, you know, we moved to Weaverville. Struggled with this funky old log cabin. My wife wanted to have all these animals. The floods came and washed our bridge out. And I kind of forgot about Holy Spirit at that time. But He's faithful, and He stayed with me. And about 18 months ago, a girl in North Carolina who calls me Papa sent me a book by Smith Wigglesworth. Then she sent me another one. And that really brought home to me the power of Holy Spirit. And that I was living without that power. So I recommitted myself, my heart, to being tight with Holy Spirit. This is the way, folks, that we have victorious living. We all experience little relationships that are abrasive, but they don't have to be. And so we're going to have, number one, get saved if you're not. Over here, number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to have station number three over there. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit 45 years ago, and you kind of forgot about it, and you aren't using it, and you aren't being used by Holy Spirit, then go there and get refilled. Okay? I think with that, I will say amen.